If you've got a question or a comment, you can, right in the middle of it. We don't stop you from that. And believe me, there'll probably be some comments going on when I get through with this, or during it. Believe me. I want to do it, and that's fine. Where else can you go and do that? You can.
And wear shorts and tennis shoes.
And wear shorts and tennis shoes. I had one guy coming in when we were in Pensacola for 35 years over there. He used to come in when Brother Ward was the preacher in a bathing suit. Brother Ward never said a word. And flip-flops. But he was there listening. And that's what counts. But first off, I always start with this, as if you've never seen it, that Jesus Christ was crucified. Did I spell that right?
C-R-U-C-I-F.
Come on, Wiggins. How many times have you ever drawn that up there?
You get like me, that's in one of my metal blocks.
It's all that.
He never misspelled. He must be under some pressure. I started it rolling.
Jesus Christ was crucified. He was buried. He was what? Resurrected from the dead on the third day for a reason. For your justification. To pay for how many?
All
your sin. The sin nature that was passed upon you from your grandfather Adam, and all of your sins, your past, your present, and your future sins, every one was nailed to the cross that day. The world was reconciled. And if you don't believe that, just read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, start in verse 14, and you're going to find that out. And we're all ambassadors that have trusted. The only way an individual can be saved, the only way, is trusting that right there. Without an exception. Now, the big thing is, I want to show you this because there's no sense having a service of any kind without showing the gospel of your salvation. Now, we're going to erase this and we're going to proceed in something completely different. But I wanted to show you this because all sin and sins were nailed to the cross. Now, with that in mind, Brother Moore, most of you knew of him if you didn't know him personally. He's still on Channel 3 at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. He was my mentor since 1986 when I got saved. He actually started in 1984 with me on his TV ministry. He's deceased, but he's still preaching and people are still getting saved through his ministry, and that's a wonderful thing. But I asked him one time about Titus and the Roman army. In other words, I've got to draw this back up here for a second. We know we're living in a mystery period that's not in Scripture, in prophecy, anywhere. This mystery period right here, I'm going to put a few other things. The trials and tribulation of 1 year or 7 years, 1 week of 7 years. The second coming, of course. 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Now, Peter was preaching in here, repent and be baptized for remission of sins, and we all know that. And then prophecy was, just to real quick bring you up, prophecy was put on hold here. So if he was put on hold and Israel was made lo am I, and that's what it says in Romans chapter 11, isn't it? They're lo am I. So there's no prophecy going on with Israel if they're lo am I. When that middle wall was removed, there's nothing else specifically taught to the Jew.
What does lo am I mean?
Lo am I. They're not God's people any longer. Hosea chapter 1. Verse 8 and 9. But they will be again God's people.
Amen.
But they're not right now. The Jew and the Gentile are equal. And I like to say they're equal sinners. We're all under sin. We need a Savior. So, through the rejection, and I'm going to need to leave this up here. I might need to make my way out. I'll use it. Through the rejection resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the last rejection came here with Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, when they stoned him. And who was out there holding the coats or the clothes? Saul of Tarsus, which is our apostle now, Paul. So, but prophecy, through the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God said, time out, I'm putting prophecy on hold. There's nothing else going to be done in this time period, this mystery period. Well, there's 22 mysteries here, but we're not going to cover the mysteries. We know this mystery period here. The church that you are a member of is a spiritual, invisible church, correct? You can't touch it, you can't feel it, it's not anything to do with the building. What's that sign we saw yesterday, Trish?
Church
without walls is what we're in. Do you realize that? It's a spiritual, invisible church called the body of Christ. Now, as I said earlier, nowhere in prophecy, all the way back to Adam, can you find this. It was given to one man to give to the world. Now, we've got to realize that Jesus Christ had an earthly ministry, and he also had a heavenly ministry. We're in his heavenly ministry. All of our blessings are in what? Heavenly places. And they're all spiritual blessings. But, not what I want to talk about. Mystery period. Not in prophecy in here. But we know when the last person is saved, there's going to be a gathering out of the saints. And we're going to be raptured up. Our vile body is going to be changed like into his glorious body. And we're going up to meet the Lord in the air and forever be present with the Lord. Now, so we know this is going to happen. We know that this is prophecy right here. There's 1 year, 1 week of years, it's 7 years of trials and tribulation, and then the 1,000-year millennial reign, and then, as Joe said earlier, the great white throne judgment. And then the new heavens, the new Jerusalem coming down. But, that's enough right here. But, what I want to talk about, go over to Daniel 9. First time you heard me do any of this, ain't you?
Controversial.
Oh, it won't be controversial here. I know it still will be for you, but... Okay, go to Daniel 9, and let's read in verse 24. But, before I do that, I'm going to stretch this timeline back out over here. Now, believe me, this doesn't go back to Adam. I don't want to carry it that far. I don't want to carry it to God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit before he spoke the first grain of sand into existence. I'm not going back that far. Where am I going? I'm going back to the prophet Daniel. Now, somebody can correct me on this, but I believe that Daniel prophesied and wrote this around 500 B.C. Some people say it's between 300 and 500 B.C. I don't really care, honestly. But everyone that seems to know about Jesus Christ has got this right here at 0, excuse me, got this at 33 A.D. when he was crucified. Is that correct? Okay, that got him being born somewhere around 0. But if we have him at 4 B.C., then this changes to 29, which is more accurate, I believe. But we're going to use the 33, just for basic simplicity. Daniel said something. He said, look, let me read it. Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, 70 weeks... Of years, 70 weeks of years, at 70 times 7, 1 week of years, equal what? 490 years. So, it says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who is thy people?
Israel.
That ain't a soul in this room. it's Israel that's going to be punished in judgment. And upon the holy city. Who is that? Where's that?
Jerusalem.
To finish the transgression and to make end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most Holy. When is the Most Holy going to get anointed? Second coming. Right? Is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So we know from this point, give me a different color. From this point to whenever the commandment was given to restore and build Jerusalem is 490 years. That's a given. So I'm going to bring this over. I'm just going to say this is when the commandment was given right there. That's 490 years. Anybody disagree with that? So far. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, there was a commandment given to restore and build Jerusalem. A commandment. Now, I want to stop and get back. I never did finish that other about Rome. I asked him, how could prophecy take place inside the mystery period? He said, can't. I said, what about Titus and the Roman army coming through? Everybody wants to believe in Daniel 9, that's what it is. And I'll be honest with you, he didn't know. And he ain't taken nothing away from the greatest preacher since the Apostle Paul. It just ain't. But I know where it's at. And I didn't find it out. I've searched it out for years, because I studied with Brother Clint for four solid years on prophecy. And none of us had it. And I kept searching, and I found it. Somebody else found it, and I found that guy's, and I checked it out. And boy, is this going to make you jump up and down, because as I've said, Titus and the Roman army coming through is not in Scripture. Even though in history, we know it happened. People want to attribute Titus and the Roman army coming in about 70 A.D. That's inside this mystery period. That was hid in God. How can prophecy be in a mystery period?
It
can't be. Now, Isaiah 53:1-12 was all hidden. I'll take that back. It was kept secret until Romans 16:25. And the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, gave the Apostle Paul the revelation of the mystery. What was the revelation of the mystery? I've already drawn it up on the board. Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected for your justification. That's Romans 5:1. You are justified. You've been cleared of all sins the moment you trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the gospel of the grace of God is. It's the application of the blood. Now, with this knowledge, well, we start figuring something out. Let's look at this again. Know therefore, in verse 25, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince. You know, there's a word in this verse here, Messiah. In the Old Testament, Messiah is used twice. And it's in verse 25 and 26 and nowhere else in the entire King James Bible. And it's mentioned twice, spelled differently in the New Testament. But it's M-E-S-S-I-A-S. But Messiah as we know it is two times in the Old Testament. And if you want the Scriptures, I've got them somewhere. But, look at here. What we're trying to find out is, and I'm not going to give you the answer to this, because everyone seems to have a different answer. Now, I'm going to go ahead and do my timeline. I'm going to use Clint's and everybody else's, and I'm going to put it together, and hopefully I'll get it close. But there was a commandment given here. To restore and build Jerusalem. Well, go to 2 Chronicles. How about that first? 36. Now hold on to Daniel, because we got to come back. That's where we're talking about. Second Chronicles 36, and we'll start in verse 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah, we're going to be going there, might be accomplished. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, that's Cyrus, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go. So we know that Cyrus was given a commandment. But was it the one that was used to accomplish the job? No. But it was given. I drank so much caffeine. But what about Jeremiah 25, would you? I want you to see this. Starting in verse 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, talking to Israel, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. Now, we're not talking about this right now, but that ought to give you a clue that the church, the body of Christ, is not the bride. And sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle, and this whole land shall be a desolation, and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon, how many? 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon. He is using Nebuchadnezzar, of course. Then he's going to turn right around, the Lord is, and punish him. And that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make a perpetual desolations. Now, Jeremiah prophesies this in verse 13. So, we know that they were in bondage for what? 70 years. But that's not the end of it. We know there's a total of 490 years, so let's just keep looking. Go to Isaiah 44. We're going somewhere with this, guys, where you may believe it or not. Go to verse 28. Well, actually, start in verse 1. I'm sorry. Go to verse 28 of 44. Isaiah 44:28. That saith of Cyrus, He is my shepherd, he's talking about the Lord, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Go over to 45, which you're hopefully you're there. Let's go to verse 1. Isaiah 45, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two lead gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Go to verse 13. These are the Lord's promises. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for the price, nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. So he just got through saying, talking about Cyrus, that he's going to build his city.
Cyrus.
And the Lord said this about Cyrus. That he is going to build my city, which is Jerusalem. Now, let's go back over to Daniel 9. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall in troublous times. So we're talking about, and I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to get ahead of myself and I'm going to put somebody up here. Was this Artaxerxes? That's probably not the way you spell it. That's close. It's Art or something. Artaxerxes. Or was it Nehemiah? I personally believe, now I'm not going to prove this, I personally believe Nehemiah did it. There's the one who give. He went to the king gave him all the blessings and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not telling you which one did it. I'm going to leave this here because it's an unknown thing. And it has to do with a time frame of who did it. Watch this. Until what did he say? Unto Messiah the Prince. Well, a lot of people have got Messiah the Prince here as he was on that foal, that ass, that colt, riding in on Palm Sunday as the king. He didn't say he was the king. Those people were screaming, Hosea, Hosea. And there was there, some of the people were recognizing him as their king. He didn't come out and say he was the king.
That's from Artaxerxes until riding in of the Messiah.
Either one of these. Nehemiah, Cyrus, or Artaxerxes.
Those are two separate times, are they not?
All these three are different times.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. So that's why I put a question mark here. Now, I'm not saying when this took place.
And what they're saying is that from Artaxerxes until writing of the cult was exactly 490 years.
You know who did that?
Yes.
Sir Robert Anderson did that, and everybody else has copied it ever since to the day. But that can't be true. And I'm going to show you why it can't be true. But see, some people got it right here to Messiah the Prince. Well, let's just continue. Shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So what they're saying is, they're going to be, what? 7 times 7 equals 49 years. Right? That's the 7 weeks. Then, there's 3 and 2, which is 62 times 7 equal what? 434. When you add that together, you get 483. Now, you've got 483 to what? To the cutting off. To the cutting off. Now, I'm telling you, right, I'm going to put it right here. Because we got 1 week left. Now, you know, down in my mind, there's 1 week left. That's a debate that we can have separately. But 1 week left, that's 483 years. No doubt about it. Now, here's why. There's so many different thoughts on this. It can't be here. Why? Because people, you'll read the next verse. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So, if right here is what they're saying at the cross, that he's cut off, what happens to the prophecy that took place in here? Acts chapter 2, the 40 days that Jesus Christ walked around on the earth, his ascension, Pentecost took place, Stephen started preaching. That's in prophecy. That's in the old. Look, watch this. So, I'm saying that he was cut off. This is me. That he was cut off right here. Because the kingdom was no longer offered. Even right here in Acts chapter 7, if those Jews in the synagogues had accepted what Stephen was saying, Jesus Christ would have come back from heaven. He stood up. I believe he was ready to come back. But they rejected him, stoned him, and killed him. That's the cutting off of the kingdom. Right there. And then the mystery period started. Now, if you want to cut him off here at the cross, what's going to happen to this time period in here? I had a guy tell me the other day. It just made no sense to me, but I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, the 70th week started right here. Mm-hmm. You ever heard that?
Yes.
And then, and then, God put it on pause. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. Well, I don't believe this. But that's for you to determine. I believe this is the cutting off of the Messiah. Then we changed the Gospels from repent and be baptized for remission of sins, as the Apostle Peter preached to the little flock. We've changed it to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for your past, your present, and your future sins, and thou shalt be saved. It's a different gospel being preached here to the little flock. The Luke chapter 12, verse 32, the little flock, and then the body of Christ. Because Israel has fallen based upon Romans 11:11. They're no longer God's people. But now that's something you're going to have to do. And the reason that I don't have the answer yet for this. I don't have the date. Some people say it's 445 B.C. that the commandment was given. Some even get up into 500. Some say 444. I don't know. But I do know that the kingdom of heaven was cut off right here. There's no more teaching that. This was him coming straight back. Now we're in this mystery period. But we know he's going to come out of the third heaven right here on his second coming. But that's what I want to show you. When people read, and I'm going to continue reading in verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people, this is where I really had started with all of this, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Most people believe that's Titus and the Roman army in A.D. 70. Wrong. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, look at this. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, let's get back up here. I'm going to show you where, in verse 26, the people of the prince that shall come is not Titus and the Roman army. Go to Zechariah chapter 14. Hold on to Daniel, of course. This is the scripture that was missing. You can Google it. You can do whatever you want to. And I seriously doubt you're ever going to find this. Zechariah 14. Let me get to it. Zechariah 14. And let's go to verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord coming, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will, listen to this now, for I will gather all nations against who? Jerusalem. To battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Where's that going to take place, guys? Right here. Right at the end. Not the end, but right at the end of the tribulation. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then, after they're pretty well destroyed, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Then the Lord's going to come down for his second coming right here. And he's going to take care of all those nations that just devastated Jerusalem. Amen. It's not here, in here. It can't be in there. This is the place it takes place. Where's that at? It's not. You see what I'm saying? Titus and the Roman army is not in your scripture, but this is. This is the key to the missing link about prophecy in this period. There is none. So, that just excited me. And I've been wanting to talk about this, but I've been putting it off, and Joe's leaving soon, so I wanted to be able to get ready the other day so we could do it. Now, let's go back over to Daniel 9. And after 80 years shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. You just saw where it took place. Zechariah 14, 1 through 3. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. Okay. You saw the word flood. Right? Let's look it up. Go to Isaiah. Hold on. Go to Isaiah 59. We're going to go to verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a what?
Flood.
A flood. This is not water, people. This flood means people. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Against the flood. He's going to handle that. Go to Isaiah 17. The start in verse 12. Woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like the noise of the seas, like a flood, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters. You see that? The nations. That's who's going to fight against Jerusalem. Shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. It's a flood. Go back over to Daniel 9. And after 62 weeks, verse 26, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood unto the end, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Of course, Jesus Christ is going to come back out of the third heaven where he's sitting on the right hand side of God on the throne room right now, and he's going to destroy those people. Because right now they're low am I. They're not God's people, but they will be again at the Valley of Jezreel, and that's what the scripture says. But there's a battle of Armageddon here when he takes control. He ends it. He chastises all those people. And I'll tell you, he ain't easy. He kills them. Now, let's continue to read. And he, in verse 27, who is he? The prince that shall come. Who is that? Right here. That's the Antichrist, guys. Let me make this a little bit clearer, bigger, whatever. We're going to have 1 week. It's 7 years. 3.5 here. 3.5 here. And the scripture says in the middle of the week, he's going to set himself up as God in the temple. As God in the temple. He's going to do some of the things that Antiochus, which is not in the scriptures, Antiochus Epiphanes did when he sacrificed a pig to the Jews inside the temple. He is just that blast. Now, let's continue to read. And he, that's the prince, that's the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. He is going. These people are going to be sacrificing in here because there's a new temple that will be built right here. New temple will be built. And he's going to let them, the Antichrist, he is going to let them do their sacrifices and so forth until the center. 3.5 years. He's going to destroy it all. And then we really get into Revelation at that point, which I'm not going into. My whole point was to show you really this one thing can exist in here. While it's on my mind, let me go over there and see if I can find this. It's in Romans. Oh, let me look. I can tell y'all, and y'all know exactly where it was at. Let's see. Yes, it's in Romans 11. Now, verse 25. Well, actually, let me read Romans 11:11. I say then, have they is the Jew, Israel, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. For to provoke them back again is the Jews to jealousy. And Paul says in verse 13, he says, for I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Your apostle is not Peter, James, John, or any of the 12. This right here, if you believe what the Bible says, as it says it, where it says it, tells you who your apostle is. I don't make things up. I expect to be challenged by Acts 17:11, be a Berean. Anything I tell you, I want you to look up and challenge me with it if you don't believe it. Let's go to the scriptures and let the inerrant word of God prove the truth. You know, let every man be a liar. God's telling it's true. Now, I had started somewhere. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Ha! Mystery! Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, in part, has happened to Israel. They're blinded, they're low am I. And that's Hosea chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. They can't see, they're blinded. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be coming in. They're going to become God's people again. Now watch this, the next verse, 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's where it's coming at the second time. Right over here, I've taken it off. It's the second coming right here. That's what he's talking about. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, after they destroyed Israel, Jerusalem, almost. If you notice, it didn't. Over half of it was destroyed. The women ravished and raped and all those horrible things. It may not be as bad as Titus and the Roman army when those women over there eat their babies to stay alive. That's a true fact. It's horrible to think about that. But I'm going to tell you something, guys. I'm going to talk about it next week, too. It's this present evil world. You can't imagine what's out here. Even as much as I've seen, and I was devastated with what I saw Saturday. I watched some documentaries, and it's just devastating. Bring me to tears of what's going on in South America and in Los Angeles and other places. It's horrible. The killings and the brutality and the rapes and the murders and cutting off of heads and those things right now. It's just horrible. But that's another day. Look, verse 27. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Now, so all Israel that goes through the trials and tribulations here into the millennial reign, if you make it through, not us, we're not going through that. I've been delivered from all the wrath. I'm not in darkness, as the 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 said. I'm in light. Nothing's going to surprise me. And if it happens today, I'm going up to be with the Lord. I ain't got to worry about it. I'm sealed until the day of redemption. The Lord cannot deny Himself, the Scripture says. We're sealed, Ephesians 4:30 says. Ephesians 1:13 tells me that I'm sealed. God can't lie. He can't send me to hell if I've trusted in His only Son, only begotten Son, God manifest in the flesh. What does it say in John 1? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh my gosh, that's exactly what it is. Just trust what the Scripture says, not what some preacher has told you, not a Bible teacher has told you. Go to the Word of God and find out if they're telling you the truth. Check me out. Now, go over to Romans 16, if you would. Well, before you get there, go to Romans 16, but go over to Acts chapter 3.
I just wanted to make a comment
sure.
About the verse you had here. It says, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. You know, what's really fantastic about this is before it was always repent, be baptized, or you had to repent of your sins, or you had to go back to the law, or whatever. But here it says he's going to drive out ungodliness. And for this covenant unto them, all the covenants used to be, if you do this, God will do that. But here it doesn't say that at all. And this is what's so beautiful.
He's just going to hang.
He's just going to flat do it.
And that's what I'm going with this.
Take away their sins. And that's just like he did with us.
Okay.
I mean, he's already done it, Calvin.
It's a done deal. Now,
that's beautiful.
I'm glad you brought it up because that's where we're going to talk about. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. This correlates with that. Peter, one of the greatest apostles ever lived, just not yours. He said in verse 19 of Acts chapter 3, repent. He's talking to who? The Jews. He ain't talking no Gentile there. But he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins, the word may be, not they are, may be blotted out. When? It tells you when they may be blotted out. when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When's he coming, guys?
Second coming.
That's when they're going to get theirs. That's Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. When they're going to get their salvation, we've got ours the moment you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ in believing everything in the finished work of the cross. It's a done deal. We have, by Romans chapter 5, verse, what is it, 11? We now have our atonement. They don't. Well, they're going to get theirs. Listen, verse 20. And he, that's God, shall send Jesus Christ, verse 20, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. He's in the third heaven, sitting in the throne room on the right-hand side of the Father as we speak. It said, whom the heaven must receive. He's there. The heaven received him until the times of restitution. That's the times of restitution right here. Joe said earlier there's going to be 1,000 years of rest for Israel. That's an absolute fact. When this 6,000 years is over, and we've got so many different, nobody knows, Joe did an excellent job on the timeline of it. You know, the calendars are so messed up. But we know we're getting close. And it's not like Paul at the time, he thought he was going to be here for the rapture. But Paul didn't go into detail about the prophecies that of Genesis. In the 4 days. And then the 2 days here. And then one day here. 7 is spiritual perfection and completion, yes.
You know what's really fire? I've been to both Bible college and seminary. And one of the things that is never, ever taught or mentioned is the mystery period. At all.
Well,
and talk about New Testament and Old Testament. And the reason why they don't is because they can't figure it out in the time table. And that's just exactly what you're dealing with.
Well, what they want to do, Richard, as you know, they want to put the body of Christ, the church that we're into today, into the church that started, they claim, at Pentecost. But there was no church started at Pentecost. It started in Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus Christ started that himself. But in Pentecost, they were only added to the church at Jerusalem. It's a completely different church. You've got to draw it out where people can understand it. Go over the scriptures. I don't expect nobody. It took me 2 years to understand just what that was. So, I mean, I had to prove it. I didn't just take DC's word for it. I had to prove it out of the scriptures that what I was reading and what he was saying was true. Because I was a repent and be baptized for remission of sins guy, and I was a good religious guy in that Methodist church up there that I belonged to in Hope Hall, Alabama. Even though I was raised as a Baptist. But I didn't know what the scripture said. I only believed what the preachers had told me for 39 years. And once I started studying it and reading it at 37, I got saved at 39 in my house. With nobody around. I just trusted the finished work of the cross. That's all I did. I can't go in at work, jump over any hoops, can't donate. I can't do any of those things that's going to help me whatsoever. I can't clean up my act and become perfect. You don't work. You can't do that. But anyway, I want to show you this in verse 21. Talking about Jesus Christ that God had just sent. Acts chapter 3, 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God, look at here, hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Did Peter just write in the scriptures here, the inerrant word of God, that prophets had spoken these things? Yes, he did. Let's go somewhere else. Go over to Romans chapter 16. Let's go to verse 25. Paul is your apostle. We just got through reading it. I mean, how can you deny what the scripture said? And he wrote the book of Romans, and he says in verse 25 of 16, he said, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. That's God he's talking about. My gospel, Paul calls it. The gospel of the grace of God. Not the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. My God, man, there's 11 different gospels in the scriptures I can show you and show you where they were at. This one is written directly to you, and he calls it my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the what?
Grace.
revelation of the mystery. It was revealed from the risen Savior, not the earthly ministry of the Savior, of the Messiah. He's my Savior, which was what? Well, did it say, as in Acts chapter 3, verse 20 or 21, that it was spoken by all the mouths of the holy prophets? No, it says, which was kept secret since the world began. If it's kept secret, it couldn't be spoken by the holy prophets, could it? I mean, you know, I overlooked all of these. Yeah. Well, first off, I didn't read the Bible. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and thought I was an expert. The only thing I knew was John 3:16. I'm telling you. I was living up there in Houghton, and we used to have a, and I didn't know what denomination he was. I know now he's deceased, but he was a Methodist, and he great guy, Mr. Miller. He used to come by there in school. You could do that in school. And we memorized Bible verses, and we went a little New Testament. I still got mine, by the way, from the seventh grade. That's a long time ago. You know, and we win this and those kind of things.
It's stone.
Understand, it's on tablets. It's been that long. But anyway, look, it was kept secret. But now is made manifest. It has appeared by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. I've got two things I want to tell you, and then I'm going to quit. One is, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, not as a national salvation like Israel can do, but people that make it through the trials and tribulations, those that didn't get their head cut off, they're going to go over here into the millennial reign of Christ. No doubt about it. There's going to be some people make it through, quite a few, I think, that you didn't take the mark of the beast, the mark in the forehead, the mark in the... You can't buy, sell, and anything if you do that, but you get the mark of Christ. But that's a thing right there that you don't want to do, is take the mark of the beast. You know, and you don't know what you can do. But I know what you can do today, because this grace, the gospel of the grace of God is preached today. But when the last person is saved in this body of Christ, and we go up to meet the Lord, we're going to get a new body, of course. Our vile body changed into a life in the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is coming into the air, and we're going to meet Him in the air. The word rapture is not in the scriptures, we know, but it's called a gathering out into the air. We're going to forever be with Jesus Christ wherever He's at. We know we're going to the judgment seat of Christ with Him, a judgment for all saved people. But we're going to, wherever He's at, that's where we're going to be. Trust that He was crucified for you, that He was buried, and He was resurrected. Now, Peter didn't believe that. But here's something that was only revealed to the Apostle Paul, that it was for your forgiveness in Acts 13:38, and in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and other places, for your justification, to clear you of all those sins that you have committed, that you're going to commit today, and you're going to commit until the day the rapture takes place, or until you go to sleep in Christ if you're saved. Or if you don't go to sleep in Christ, you're going to hell. There ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. There ain't but two places to go. Now, with that said, I want to tell you this. It has something to do with the Bible, or absence of. In Brevard County, here in Florida, I saw this, and I'm not a great fan of Hannity on Fox, but he had a man on there this past week that spoke the truth, and it was absolutely awesome. He was a radio personality. And in Brevard County, here in Florida, for the past 3 years, in the world history books, I like history, in the world history book that they use in high school, whatever grade, 10th, 11th, or 12th, I don't know, could be the same. There's 36 pages, explaining how great Islam is. 36, it talks about jihad. It talks about all how Islam has been so wonderful for the women. Oh my gosh. Mm-mm. And women are flocking and joining Islam. I don't, hey, Satan working his stuff. But my whole point is there's 36 pages down here that was approved by Brevard County. Mm-hmm. Now, they got a movement to get that eliminated because the premise was if you could put Judaism in there, which will send you to hell today, Islam will send you to hell today. If you could even put, quote, Christianity in there today, and I'm going to use that term loosely because I've got something to tell you about that, but here's the thing. If you could mention Jesus Christ, even 5 pages, let alone 36 pages, along with Islam, along with Judaism, the top three religions, now religion will send you to hell. Man-made. Now, being saved is wonderful. But if you could mention those three, you wouldn't have such a public outcry. But it's there. Look it up, Google it, whatever you want to do with it. I wanted to let you know of how Satan is working his magic right here. And unless everyday people like me and you call your senators and your representatives and say, get it out of the book. And you may say, well, you know, if I call, I'm just not with one person. Well, that's what everybody thinks. If we all called, if we told our friends to call. But first, verify it, check it out, make sure I'm telling you the truth. You don't want to call down there and look like an idiot. I didn't do this, but because it's a different thing. I didn't go to Snoots and ask them, was it true? Because Snoots is in bed with Obama. Okay? But I wanted you to know how that worked. Did you know... Oh, it's time to quit.